My name is Tanya Martin, and we're going to go ahead and start our session. You're in the session for data sharing initiatives, both federal and global. And we're going to start with our global example, and our presenter for that is Brian Lee. Brian is a specialist leader at Deloitte Consulting, where he specializes in research and development, service-oriented architecture, and enterprise architecture in the Federal Strategy and Operations Solutions Group. He is currently advising the CDC Informatics Research and Development Unit in FIPO on strategic initiatives in an innovative research. He has experience in multiple organizations leading teams of geographically dispersed architects and developers in designing and implementing on a service-oriented architecture framework for application development. He has a Bachelor's of Business Administration, majoring in Computer Information Systems from Georgia State University. And he has held positions such as Chief Technology Officer and as Principal Architect at several firms. He is a Certified Enterprise Architect, a Certified Scrum Master, and has multiple certifications from both Sun and Microsoft. So let's welcome Brian Lee.
Thank you very much, Tanya. Reminds me I need to shorten my bio a little bit. It's really eating into my presentation time. First thing I want to talk about is Mike Perry is actually the lead architect at CDC, developed this presentation, and he would be here to present it to you today, but he's giving a very similar presentation at the NEEM federal event going on in Pennsylvania this week. So due to some sort of scheduling, a lot of NEEM folks are up there, so I have the opportunity and the pleasure, and you guys have the bad luck, to have me presenting instead of Mike. So a lot of this stuff is going to be related to the work that I've done with Mike in the past, and may still relate to your programs. But if I don't do a good job, it's because I'm not filling in Mike's shoes completely. So the three sort of areas that we're going to cover today are, one, just overall, you know, what is the National Information Exchange Model? What is NEEM? A bit of the history, a bit of its application, a bit of how it's growing and evolving, how it ties into data.gov. So most people in the audience have probably heard of data.gov. It got a bit of press. If you're lucky enough to have used it, that's going to help as well. And NEEM is also kind of closely tied in data.gov. And then, of course, how do these two topics and how do these two technologies and how do these two programs tie into what public health does and what public health informatics is seeking to accomplish? So the first thing is just sort of definition, level setting. If you have, and of course, this presentation is not going to tell you everything you need to know about NEEM. If there's one thing you can remember is NEEM.gov is going to have a lot of detailed information about it and have all the tools and background and just more detail that you'd like. But it was developed for data exchange at all levels of U.S. government. So federal, state, local, tribal, regional, any interagency exchange of data, NEEM was developed to facilitate that and sort of document and to formalize that exchange in a way that helps people reuse it in the future. So if you kind of remember anything, it's a way to collect data exchanges, assign metadata to it so machines can understand it and they can be reused in the future. So it brought together stakeholders and different communities of interest or communities of practice to identify the sharing requirements of what goes on in day-to-day systems and services in addition to what you have to do in an emergency or a one-off situation. So NEEM is not just meant for very rigid formal data exchanges, but it's meant to be flexible enough that you could rapidly put together a NEEM package and put together an exchange definition to respond to an emergency event like yesterday's earthquake or the hurricane that's going to be hitting this weekend. So NEEM is meant to be strong enough to sustain that emergency event, but simple enough to learn and use during a one-time event. One of the key pieces of NEEM is to develop a set of standards and, more importantly, a common lexicon and a repository of all those data elements and all those standards so that when people are developing exchange package documentation and exchange package definitions, they can go search and easily reuse. So a big piece of NEEM is a repository where you can go and find how others have defined entities and objects and then reuse that when you're building it yourself. So you don't have to reinvent everything from scratch. You can go and pick and choose the best pieces that help you go forward quickly. Another piece is sort of a set of collaborative technical tools. So NEAM has a repository of not just data elements and data standards and data packages, but the tools that let you work with those data pieces to not just build your packages of how your data is defined and how your metadata is built, but how it's actually processed, how it's included, how it's reused. So it's one way for the information exchange community to share tools. So it could be as simple as a schematron set of a way to validate, or it could be as complex as a whole subsystem or a whole component that you download and use on data. And then finally, the NEAM program out of DHS, it's actually hosted by the Department of Homeland Security, but available as a federal agency-wide and state and local agency-wide vehicle to assist all data exchange, but it's hosted in DHS, is to provide training and assistance on how people use TEAM, or use NEAM. And they would be here this week, but they're actually holding one of these training sessions in Philadelphia this week. And so that's actually a key differentiator, is there's a lot of support, and there's actually people who will answer the phone if you need to call and have questions about how NEAM is used or how you specifically can use it within your program. So it's not just, here's a new standard, go use it. There's a whole group of people, there's a whole community around who have vested interest in you being able to use it easily and get value out of it. So this is the NEAM flower. Has anybody ever seen this before? Okay, so if you've been to a NEAM presentation, you're probably seeing the NEAM flower. A few key points here is each petal is a specific domain. So the idea behind NEAM is there's no way that someone's going to know all the data elements for everything in the universe, for all of federal and state data exchange, but that it's delegated out and sort of resonates or cascades out from a universal core, which is simple stuff like what's an address or who is, what's a person's name, to a common core, which is a little bit more coarse-grained or more generally applicable. And then finally, for the specific areas of domain intelligence, they delegate out to sub-communities. So the idea of NEAM itself within DHS is they're not going to actually hold all of the data elements on immigration. What they're going to do is point out to a repository of a community of interest or community of excellence or community of competence that knows about immigration and defines those elements and maintains them. And what NEAM sort of provides is a way for each of these petals to feed in and sort of let the core know that it exists, but not that someone takes it over. If you'll notice, a lot of these are actually sort of Homeland Security related or justice related, because this petal was created by the DOJ, DHS community, and it's really in this future domains, which is a lot smaller than it should be, where it gets expanded out into things like health. So the health domain is actually one of the most nascent domains inside NEAM, because originally NEAM was meant for public safety elements and for criminal care and really for DHS-related items. But it got expanded out because it's really a set of best practices and good ideas that wasn't specific to justice or specific to DHS. It was just born there. So going into the health domain, public health is one aspect of this. But the health petal of NEAM and how that grows out actually covers the entire gamut of health. So it's, you know, health care and patient care. There's health research and sort of advanced practice and drug research. There's consumer safety and built environment and things like that. And then finally, there's public health. And there are going to be elements of where these overlap, and there are going to be elements of where they're independent, but they all will fit inside that petal. So what it means is it's not just one group within the petal which determines what the right elements are, but there's subgroups below it. So there's a series of delegation all the way down from core to common to the petal to these specific interests. So the idea is that the public health community itself will determine what goes into that lexicon or what goes into the element set. And I want to sort of give an example of how you would achieve interagency communication or data exchange using NEAM. So almost all of you, I'm sure, have some experience with data exchange. You're getting data from somewhere, you're sending data to somewhere, and you're obviously doing that without NEAM. Is anyone actually using NEAM now? Okay, that would be amazing, but also very shocking, because within public health, NEAM is not used very widely. A lot of times you'll use HL7 or even a point-to-point locally negotiated protocol, just something to get your data in and send your response back. Which has worked fine for hundreds of years. What NEAM does is it allows you to codify that and put it into a set of metadata so others can reuse the decisions that you made and sort of the hard work that you put into that data exchange so their exchange can be simpler. So how that would work out is you have your different agencies, be it CDC on one end or a state agency, sending out to another agency. In this example, it's DHS or FDA or a particular state. And the idea is you're going to be sending data anyway. What you do is you build this exchange XML document. And what this is if you've heard of the Information Exchange Package Documentation, the IEPD, it's a set of XML documents which describe what that exchange does. So if you were to open up this IEPD as a human, you can get information about business processes, what security protocols are required, sort of the minimum information you need to exchange it. But more importantly, if you hand those XML documents off to any of your software packages that understand XML schema or understand Schematron, your system at a machine level will know how to validate those documents, will know how to tell if a document's good or bad, and sort of can automate those pieces. And so what that means is, when documents are flowing back and forth, you don't have to wait until a public health worker gets that document to find out your data is bad. You can have that sent back beforehand for additional verification, for additional validation. You can really just have a more advanced work queue because your data has been pre-processed by a machine. And in a lot of cases, you've already built that into your system, but you've done that in a way that works for your point-to-point protocol or for your office or for your state. And what Neem does is once you put that work into building that schema and building that definition, the next person to come along can actually go and query and say, okay, here's an immunization data element. And I can, instead of defining that myself and picking out the vocabulary, I can just drag your element into my message definition. And that literally saves time and it also gets additional value. And it doesn't force you to spend a lot of time, you know, working over tiny XML details, which few enjoy doing, although I kind of do. This lifecycle is how an IEPD comes into existence. So again, IEPD, if you hear two NEEM acronyms, one is NEEM, of course. The second is IEPD, which is the Information Exchange Package Documentation, sometimes called the Package Description. And it's a set, a very rigid structure of really just a way a zip file is laid out. So it's very simple from a technical standpoint of what the guts will look like. But the important piece is sort of the governance and the community coming together for how that gets built. And this is what allows you to reuse that or to share that with other agencies. Another thing I'd like to point out is the IEPD itself doesn't have sensitive information. So you don't put your patient data or your lab order. There's no data in the IEPD, there's metadata. So you can choose to share this or choose to keep it to yourself, but if you do share it, there's not sensitive data, there's not protected data, there's no PHI, there's no PII. There's just a note that said, these are the fields of how you would structure your PII. So it's a pretty important distinguishing characteristic is these IEPDs are typically very safe for discovery. So if you go to the NEEM website and you look for existing elements, you're not going to find any program's data. You're just going to find how they collected the format of that data. So keep that in mind as we're going through these steps. And if anybody has a project management background or sort of knows their PMP or that sort of thing, these stages really align up to those. So this is just a good practice of how you conduct projects. This is very interesting. One of the reasons why we always have backups. One of the nice things about the PHI conference, and if anyone is responsible for this, is the virtual component has been really nice for those who couldn't travel here. People had to go spend a day in and out of the office. But every once in a while, it does kick you out of your presentation, like a few seconds ago. But it's worth it. It's worth the struggle. So as these IEPDs are being built, each one of these phases, from scanning to analysis, to modeling, to actually building out the IEPD, to assembling and finally to publishing and sharing and putting that into your system implementation, each of those is done through a peer review process that's within the organization. So no one approves your IEPD. If you're choosing to create an IEPD for a NEEM data exchange, you don't submit it to anyone for approval. You share your findings. So what that means is sometimes there is some duplication and sometimes there's some overlap of elements, but that's worth it to prevent the slowdown or the oversight of somebody saying your structure is the right way. So what NEEM lets you do is you follow their best practices and you create a data exchange and then you share it, and then the overall community for public health, the public safety, will figure out how to merge those together. So again, it's very key to realize that you're not getting anyone's approval. So nobody is saying your XML is good or bad. You just build your XML and share it, and then it either gets used if it's good, or it gets ignored or supplanted or combined in with something else if it's not so good. So inside that IEPD, there effectively exists an object role model, or an ORM, which defines how the data is laid out. So this is kind of a hideous slide, and it's really detailed, and if you ever go to places of how to teach you how to build a PowerPoint, they tell you not to do this, but the reason it's in here and the reason it's important is the IEPD has real structures. And anyone familiar with XML or XML schema has these schemas and has these definitions of how objects and entities are related to each other. And that's really the core, or the core concept of an IEPD, is there's real concrete stuff inside. So it's not just a Word document that describes the business process. That's in there too, that's nice. But you actually have an ORM which lets you trace all the way from person up here on the top down to the advanced directive custodian name and shows you the relationship of all those data elements. So what this means is someone went through the effort of building this, and when you're building your own package, you can pick which of these elements you want to reuse, and you can very clearly go through and trace what's required in the element, what's optional, what its relationship is to other elements. And these are sort of tried and true. XML schema is not new. It's, you know, 10, 20 years old. Some people hate it, some people love it, but it's a way to very clearly demarcate the relationships of objects to each other. And this is really, if you go through NEEM, what you have to have, you can leave out all the optional stuff, but your zip file has to have the schemas, which allow your partners to validate data and make sure your messages are okay. Yes, please.
HL7 has, like, there's a patient in that.
Yeah.
At the wrapper level, at a higher level?
So this is an interesting point. So there is currently a conversation going on between the relationship of HL7. And if you go to a lot of the SNI framework activities at ONC, this conversation has been going on for a while and will get resolved eventually. But there is a difference between NEEM and HL7, that HL7 has defined entities, and NEEM is really open-ended, and what happens is as entities get built and sort of selected out by the communities, they get put in to the core. And so as HL7 gets reused into NEEM, it could just be that elements out of V3 or out of CDA get adopted into NEEM, or it could be there's some parallel structure that hasn't been determined yet. But there's actually quite a few person elements and quite a few patient elements. In this example, it's not HL7, it's an IEPD that built out, but you could very well say, I want to use C32 person and bring them into NEEM. And actually what's interesting about NEEM is anything that exists in XML schema, you can import very easily. So I worked on a project where for the Social Security Administration, we were doing verification of eligibility for benefits. And so we actually sucked in the entire C32 into NEEM and used that to build the IEPD because we didn't want to redefine all those health-related terms and concepts. We just brought them to NEEM. Now, that was just for our IEPD. It doesn't mean that the whole world has those, but if you go to NEEM.gov and search, you'll see some of those elements we imported in. But that's actually, thank you for bringing that up. That's a key point because that's a pretty critical conversation. And the long and the short is that the ORM is basically ontology. So anyone who's worked with ontologies or relationships, it's an XML representation of an ontology of what all these concepts are and how they relate to each other. So again, this is not really a picture that we're going to go through. I'm not going to walk you through all the relationships and the is-a, has-as. I just want to have it in here so if you're looking back later on, you can see how this ontology maps to the previous example of the ORM. And another interesting point is because you have an ontology and because you have these clear definitions, you can link disparate concepts together by linking those ontologies. Yes?
Huh.
It depends on how you share your desktop. How do you do that? Thank you. All right. So I had never done that before. Sorry it took so long. Again, it's worth the struggle to get the virtual audience participating. But my point was it's because you have these ontologies defined, you can link together two related but different concepts like clinical and genomic. So disease actually exists in both of those worlds. And rather than trying to merge that into one master ontology that sort of rules the world, you just keep them separately and then link the concepts together. So you can basically, in your message, have multiple document types to meet whatever goal you're trying to achieve by that process which has the message. So that leads up to data.gov. So I'm sure everyone here is familiar with President Obama's open government directive and sort of the data sharing directives he's initialized over the past few years and what that means, not just from a health perspective, but from a general, you know, as a citizen or even anyone on the planet who wants to get data value out of U.S. public data sets, data.gov was sort of initialized to do that. So health ties into that. And specifically, it's an approach for how you share federal data. So it's the government has always built data sets and sort of left a wake of giant data sets going back, you know, over, I think, 120 years of census data and so forth. But it was always an agency by agency or source by source process of how you got to that data. And a lot of times the data wasn't inaccessible through purpose or through neglect. It was just through resources and priority of the data wasn't collected for sharing. It was collected for some specific purpose. They'd like to share it, but there wasn't the resource or ability or way to manage it or way to ensure that it's intact. And so data.gov sort of was initialized with the goal is to share as much of that through one portal through the easiest way possible. So if you go to data.gov, it'll link out to countless sources. CECS has an extensive set of data available, and I'll talk about that in a moment. And what this means is you can get sort of serendipitous reuse out of data sets. So what that means is different agencies didn't even know that their data was linkable or relevant or useful until someone went to data.gov, took it, did a mashup, and actually showed value out of it. And that's, if you do some simple Googling or Binging or whatever your preferred web search engine is, you'll see countless grad students, health agencies, folks who are getting value out of that data that the agency didn't even know it was useful to until they published it on data.gov. It's also a way to sort of, once the data is out there and pushed, to make an ontology of what that data means. So value number one of data.gov is get the data out there. CSV is better than nothing. Value number two is that ontology is a set of metadata which describes how it's useful. So first you have the fields, then you have a definition of what those fields mean and what they mean to each other. And that's what the goal of the semantic web. So Tim Berners-Lee, after inventing the World Wide Web, started working on the semantic web, and 25 years later, 22, he's still sort of working on it, and that means that all the data on the internet is understandable and parsable by machines, which then means we can understand it. And so what the semantic web really takes the data from data.gov and makes it understandable at an ontology level, which is a huge undertaking, and one that will last past all of our lifetimes, but we'll get great value out of. The data.gov site recently went through a revamp to sort of get this next generation website, using a tool called Socrata, which CDC actually hosts as a way of how data is stored, shared out, made linkable, to share tools, to share different concepts. And this is just a nice screenshot of how it looks a lot prettier than it did a while back, and a way for you to discover data sets and also to discover tools about it. Finally, what I want to talk about is how data.gov and how NEEM affects some of the practices of public health and specifically public health informatics. So the first and sort of most obvious is to join the efforts that HHS has. Mike Perry is the HHS contact for the health data domain model within NEEM and also for the data.gov site within CDC. So if you want to publish data, you can contact him and his email address on the next slide. And it's really just to get participation, because the way that NEEM works and the way those ontologies come out of data.gov is when experts who really understand the meaning and purpose of data get together and assign some value over more than just the XML definitions. So it's great that data is published through data.gov. It's amazing people are sharing IEPDs. What it really takes is public health practitioners to define what that data is so it can be more easily linked to others. One of the specifics calls for resources and calls for volunteers at this time were around vocabulary and data standards. So really vocab experts are needed to add that semantic meaning, to add those ontologies, and those groups are now standing up within HHS. So the idea is if you have interest or if you have need or you have something you'd like to contribute, just to send an email to Mike, and as the meetings grow out of the HHS groups associated with the NEEM and with the health data definition, you'll be involved. And the next piece is to publish or to take advantage of data.gov. So you can either, if you have data sets that you haven't pushed out to CDC's data.gov site, push them out. If you have tools, if you have a SAS script, if you have some utility, push those out. And a good example is sort of Wonder has a large presence on data.gov, and they've shared tools and practices and data through CDC's data.gov portal. And that's one thing that each of you as practitioners, even outside of CDC at the state or local or partner level, to share the resources of data.gov as just a way to put your data out. You don't have to actually push your data sets there. You can just say, hey, I've got a data set hosted on my university website. Here's some meaning for it. Let the world know. So instead of having to use Google or having used multiple searches, people can find your data through data.gov. And then finally, just some general comments. Again, Mike really did all the work building this. I just got to present it. He, fortunately, is also the point of contact for a lot of the activities going around with NEEM and data.gov at CDC. So that's his email address. You can also send questions to me or ask them now. I think we have a bit of time for any questions or anything going into more detail. All right.
Brian, can you help me relate me to some vocabulary standards?
Sure. Yeah, so NEEM itself, so the question for people in here is, how does NEEM relate to vocabulary standards, specifically SNOMED and others? So one of the reasons why vocabulary experts are called out and sort of ask, we need help in this area, is NEEM itself doesn't dictate any vocabulary. What it effectively does, if you're familiar with the concept of namespaces in XML, it sort of points out to vocabularies. So if you scan IEPDs and you go to the NEEM site, you'll see that vocabularies are used, pretty much all vocabularies are represented in some way by use. And so it doesn't try to say use LOINC versus SNOMED, it just allows you to link out to them. But what's interesting is how those vocabularies get pulled into a particular petal of the NEEM model, and then how they get maintained is very important. So if you look at what FinVADS did, of how you can sort of call in real time, XML schema itself needs to be defined in a file. So there's still quite a few questions about how you would pull in SNOMED, for example, into a schema that gets stored in NEEM, or do you link out to an existing SNOMED schema, or do you bring it in some way? So there's still a lot to be settled on. You can still use SNOMED before then because you're defining your IEPD, and you individually as a data exchange package creator make that decision, but the community overall hasn't decided the best way to do that. But you see a lot of pointing out to, here's a basic code element that links to an OID, which happens to be a SNOMED OID, which then links to a concept, but that's not necessarily a specific way to do that. Thanks, that's a great question. Yes?
Are there any international partners involved or using some of the stuff that are being
created? So it's interesting. The question is, what's the international participation of NEEM? And the intention is definitely to cooperate. And I know that there are some activities going on between international organizations. I don't know the specifics, because if you search for packages that have been shared, there are some international users, and there's some cooperation between sort of W3C and overall ISO giant standards organizations, but it hasn't really grown up yet. If you look at the history of NEEM, it started in 2003, 2004 as just a way for DHS to share data between states and up to the national level and then back down, because there wasn't a clear way to do that, and it's still growing out to the federal agency in the U.S. I know if you listen to the intentions and the rhetoric and sort of the way that it's been communicated out, they want to grow international, but it hasn't occurred yet. Again, it doesn't stop people from using it, because NEEM is published by DHS. There's no royalty, there's no IP protection around it, so anyone can use it. And you'll find the people who just want a good way of, which metadata should I use to find my data exchange, which is a whole separate topic in and of itself of what metadata standards to use, have chosen NEEM because it's got strong backing, it has that technical assistance and support and training element around it. So it's a strong set of metadata for any data exchange, but nothing formal yet. Thank you.
Is it still all voluntary?
So it depends. DHS, for example, requires that many of their exchanges need to be NEEM. At a certain point, if you go back to Vivek Kundra's 25 points of sort of modernizing IT, one of his points was use NEEM for data exchanges. So there is some attention to it, and to a certain extent, there has been specific calls to use it, but it's not, for example, in HHS, it's not required. And in CDC, when they go through sort of the EA maturity model and the EA ratings and CIPIC ratings, there's not a requirement that NEEM be used. There's a requirement that your data exchange be described within the EA repository at the investment level, but you could use a method other than NEEM to do that. Great question, though. Thank you. Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. That was a very good presentation.